Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight we'll be discussing last week's show, and there's been major drama this past week in the real life and in Hollywood, more than really what happened in Salem this week. So there's lots to discuss, really. Follow us on our blog daily at divaofdaysoflives.blogspot.com. You can follow me. My name's Carrie, and I'm on Twitter at Diva Abdul. And we also have two Facebook pages, and everything is linked right here on Blog Talk Radio on our show page. And we're getting a lot of hits from Blog Talk Radio, so you guys are clicking on our links. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And tonight we have Anna here.
Hello.
And the anonymous person known as SJ.
Hi, everybody.
Also known as Weeky Days.
Weeky Days, yeah.
Which I guess in the next few weeks I might need a new Twitter handle, so I might go with Weeky Days.
Yeah, well, let's start with that, and then we'll discuss my past interview and our interview coming up. Yep, since that's kind of breaking news, why don't you go ahead, SJ, and tell us what you've heard this past week.
I cannot give my source, of course. You know, like any good journalist, I cannot reveal my source. Learned that from Jack Devereaux, but it has been brought to my attention that due to the recent changes within NBC and Days of Our Lives, that some cast members may be let go in the next coming weeks to be prepared for this. I will not give names, but since it's me speaking, you can probably guess who I'm referring to. Let's hope that it is not true. But
Lexi? Is that who you're talking about? I'm kidding.
Yes, it's going to be Lexi. She's going to have a brain tumor that's inoperable, and she's going to pass away, and then Abe, before she's buried, is going to hit on Celeste. No.
Exactly.
No. Now, and again, this isn't concrete or confirmed or anything of that nature, but however, it is from an inside source, a possibility there may be some people let go, and I'll leave it at that. Yep.
Yeah,
Anna, do you have anything to add?
No, just a lot of speculating going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all have our wish list if we have to lose people, you know.
But that's not the ones they ever let go.
No,
it's never
them.
It's not
them. Who you want to go. No, I mean
it's
that's
never
very true.
Them.
That's true.
It's not going to be Rafe, even though we want it. It's not going to be Rafe. Those who don't like Melanie, it's not going to be her. It looks to me like with the recent promo or promotional shots that they released, they're going to be really heavily on the teen scene or the late teens, early 20s scene with Cameron and Abby. Obviously, they're putting them together. I mean, you run into each other outside of the pub and immediately, you know, have a confrontation. You know, that means we'll end up together later. You know, so, but
Wait. Before you get too carried away, she has not spilled coffee on his lap yet.
We need to wait
a little bit longer because, you know, romance in Salem can take these nasty turns. We got to make sure there's coffee spilled on the other person first, and then we know for sure that, yeah, it's
going to happen. That'll happen next week at the coffee house.
Yeah, there you go. That's second base.
Yes. First base is, you know, breaking a frame and,
yeah, there
you
go.
Bragging that you used to work at the hospital. Second base is coffee in a lap. Third base is making him think that he slept with you while he was drunk. So, yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
The home
Although
run
I have
is
to say,
pregnant.
There the four bases of days.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I did tweet that upon seeing new guy Cameron, who I didn't know what his name was at the time, but upon seeing him, I must admit that I did tweet something to the effect that Celeste needed to get her son some martial arts, some shirtless martial arts classes pronto with Brady.
Yeah, Quinn's on. Who's going to teach him?
That's true.
And maybe, hey, you know what? I just have this feeling that perhaps Cameron's also an expert martial artist as well as a doctor. Because we all know that you can specialize in many different things and be top-notch, you know.
Yes, you can be a professional surfer and tanner and also be the miracle surgeon.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we know that all good surgeons spend a lot of hours in the tanning booth.
Yes.
Before we get too far off track, Anna, do you want to pimp our interview on Monday? Or chat, excuse me.
Sure. We're having a chat with Lauren Coslow, who plays Kate DeMira, and with Ian Buchanan, who plays Ian McAllister on Days of Our Lives. And we will be chatting with them 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Pacific, Monday night. And please feel free to call in, talk to them, ask them questions, share your appreciation for their storyline, whatever you'd like. We're really excited to have both of them. I got to talk to Ian last week during an interview for a minute or so, and he's really sweet. And, of course, Lauren, we love her, right? I mean, can't talk about her enough, right? So should be awesome, and we're really excited to get to talk to them. So definitely call in, join us in the chat room, and all that good stuff.
And let's not forget, we need to pimp at Bob Hapka and at Amy Hapka, even though I don't think they're on Twitter right now.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Well, that's a good idea. They should be in here. They should be on our show.
Yeah, I don't know why they're not calling in. So, and, I want to discuss, I interviewed Skylar Yancey, that's how you pronounce his name.
hot guy in the martial arts class. Awesome.
Yes, it's one of those things, like, I can't look at his name because I want to call him Shula, which is stupid. So I know it's Skylar. And I couldn't get anything out of him. I tried and I tried and I tried. As far as spoilers, I couldn't get anything.
They probably threatened him within an inch of his life. He's probably like, they're just trying to wear you down.
Yeah, he could just say, I'm on Days of Our Lives now. I play Cameron Davis. That's all I can tell you. I'm Lexi's brother. I don't know where I came from either. I've never been mentioned before. So.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We don't know anything about his. But yeah, I asked about his father or nothing. I asked what specialty of medicine is he in. Don't know, and so is he going to be involved with Abby? Maybe. No, he was a really nice guy, though, and it was a pleasure talking to him. And he said something very interesting for anyone who's thinking of going into acting. Last year, he played a bartender at the Brady Pub, and I asked him, well, did that help you get this role? And he said, yes. When he was cast as the bartender, he asked, how can you get a role on the show? And he said, show up on time, do your job, know your lines, blah, blah, blah. And he did all that. And Marnie, the cast director, she kept him in mind. And they called him when this role came up. So,
wow.
But don't forget about Dario. Remember, he played, sick man number one with Melanie and them.
Oh, that's right. He died, before he was even on air.
Yeah. Well, he died twice. Once as that guy and the second time as Dario. But, not
there
actually died, but,
Yeah, I know.
We know what
performance
you mean.
Wise.
Yeah, okay. But that's good advice. I mean, if you... That's with any job, if you're coming in on a temporary basis, if you show up and make an impression on the boss, then they'll keep you in mind for something in the future.
It's just a feeling, but I think his well-built chest might have had something to do with his casting, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, that's not bad to look at.
I will say, I think now that you say that, Carrie, it seems like I do remember a really good-looking bartender at one point, feeling, hey, now, speaking of that, remember, wasn't there a guy named Pete that was the bartender for a while?
And no, I really shoved him from my mind. No, 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 no. Let's not. No, let's not talk about him. No.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
He's bad enough living through it the first time. No. Seriously, the douchebag likes him, okay? The douchebag wanted him back on the show.
Oh,
so
never
there
mind.
You go. No. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just happened to think about that when I was thinking about past bartenders.
Well, I was thinking, what was his name? The guy who won Amazing Race, the gay guy, Riken. He was actually a bartender at Chez Rouge. Yeah, it was a few years ago. It might have been around the time of the state wedding, though. Yeah, Riken was on there.
Oh,
now he's
yeah.
On, now he's on couples therapy on VH1.
Mm-hmm.
His
he's
partner,
on what?
So
oh, okay.
He's on couples therapy on VH1
That's
with his partner.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
There
wow.
You go.
Well, anyway, so yeah. Skyler sounded like he's a nice guy, and
yeah.
Obviously nice looking, and so mm-hmm. We'll see where... we'll see if Abby follows him around, giving him directions. We'll see how quickly he figures out how to get places. That's always a good sign if the girl has to keep telling you where to go in the hospital. Maybe he'll figure it out quickly and, move on. But anyway, I'm excited to see him. He seemed like a breath of fresh air for me. So
yeah, I agree. It's nice to see someone different, just different.
It was kind of. I have to admit, though, it was almost as if Renee turned in her notice and said, "Hey guys, I really want." And they're like, "Oh crap, we got to milk this for everything we got. We got to come up with a sibling, a secret sibling that we can bring in." That was kind of funny. I mean, because usually when you bring in a secret sibling, it takes them months to figure this out, right? I think I was joking somewhere. I don't know if it was on Twitter or somewhere where. In a normal situation, Lexi would be, like, almost ready to have sex with the guy, and his birth certificate would fall out of his wallet, or his pocket when he's reaching for the condom or something. And then all of a sudden she'd go, "Your mother is Celeste? Oh, my gosh, my mother is Celeste!" And then, then the drama would ensue,
Yeah.
So this time we actually find out, the same day she finds out she has a terminal brain tumor, she also finds out that she has a brother, so that was rather...
Isn't that just ironic? I mean, that happens all the time. Find out you're dying, find out you have a brother, same day,
right,
your mom comes back without an accent, stuff happens.
So, I got to, at least if they were going to bring somebody in, I'm glad it seems like they brought in somebody interesting, and so, I'll give them credit for that. But
it's obvious they're trying to go for a different demographic, too, one that Dave hasn't really hit much. Somebody tweeted the other day that the problem with Abe and Lexi is they acted like they were white. And,
that's interesting.
I thought that was an interesting tweet that I saw. It was the problem with Abe and Lexi is that they don't act African-American. So,
that's rude.
That was rude, wasn't it?
I'm like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I was at work and I had to stop and go, "Whoa, they didn't just go there. Wow."
By the way, Skyler actually has a lot of Indian blood in him too. So is he not acting Indian right now on the show?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
he's African American. He's white also, but Yeah,
I just see him as hot.
Yeah, I agree.
you can be
and we know
whatever.
The summers are for the younger set when they get out of school.
That's
they want
true.
To get their attention.
Yeah.
So.
Although, that theory, the thing, that brings up a good point because I know there for a while, Days really was doing the catering to the teen, quote-unquote, theoretically catering to the younger crowd in the summer. And
mm-hmm.
I think they've kind of gotten away from that, which is kind of refreshing. Because
honestly,
I know more kids that are more younger people who are in their teens, low 20s, that actually find Sarah, our friend Sarah, Dreamy River Soaps. I mean, she loves magic, and she's not 80 years old. A lot of the younger people that I know that are, Tao fans, they're, 20,
mm-hmm.
21, 22 years
mm-hmm.
old, And it's hotness transcends. Hotness, charisma, talent, all of that. It transcends age. It transcends, And so I kind of liked that they had kind of gotten away from that. And even though I guess it sounds like there are some spoilers that that stuff's going to heat up this summer, at least we're dealing with young adults and not like the 15-year-olds like Mia or Maya or whatever, as Kate said.
Yeah.
You know, at least they're older, you know, so.
Well, yeah, they're not, like I said, the teen scene, but they're not. They've got them in their early 20s. I mean,
yeah.
Abby by age is like, what, she was born in 92, so she would, you know, I know too much about the Devereaux. She would be 20 in October. So I don't know if they've got her going as 20 or if they got her as 21, 22, 23, whatever. But I don't even know how old Kate is. But you're right. I mean, I'm a case in point. I mean, I grew up watching Days. I'm 30 years old. So in 91, Jack and Jennifer were my favorite couple. I remember watching them in the summers.
And you were a little kid.
Yes. And so, you know, when I got to be an adult, I, you know, started a campaign to get Matt back. I mean, you know, I carried it through my life. But, you know, yeah, I mean, no, that's true. I mean, just because you're young doesn't mean your favorite characters are going to be young. You can have older couples. I mean, I like Maggie and Victor. Haven't seen them in a while, have we? But I like them.
No, we haven't. Yeah, we haven't. I'm wondering if Tomlin will shift back to that a little bit, though, because I know he likes working with adults. I mean, he's the one that created State, and he's the one that created, or not created, but, I mean, State happened during his watch, and Maggie and Victor. And I'm just wondering, like, we've got Kate and Ian now, and or Stefano, or, you know, we don't know what's going to happen there. Ooh, there's that sound again, all of a sudden. Anyway,
my cat's meowing. Sorry.
That's something that, you know, I'm kind of hopeful that, not that I don't like the younger crowd. The younger guys that we have now, I mean, guys and girls, they're all pretty capable, I think. I mean, I think they're all pretty good. So, you know, I'm fine with that if they want to do younger stories too. I mean, that's fine. But I do wonder what with this change in writing. I think most people freaked out at first, because might as well talk about that too while we're talking about this stuff.
It was kind of a bombshell. I wasn't expecting it. You know, I usually check Twitter about 1 o'clock because that's when people start actually tweeting about Days. And of course, I have to catch up what the diva says. I know what's going on.
This week either.
I know.
I took the week off. I was sick, and my kids were home from school, and it was too hard this week.
I'll forgive you. I went on Twitter, and I was like, you know, holy crap, Batman. You know, he's firing the writers. I was like retweeting away. Like, wow. Wasn't expecting that at all.
Yeah. I don't know. I think a lot of people freaked out at first because anything changed, even if what you have sucks, it's still like that idea of change, like, oh, no, what's going to happen, you know. But then for some reason, you know, it looked like the tide kind of turned, and I think when they announced that Lorraine Broderick was coming on as a breakdown writer, a lot of people were pretty impressed with that. And, I mean, the first thing I thought of
– awards, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's legit. Not that the other writers aren't, but, I mean, obviously they are. But, you know, but I'm just saying, like, for some reason she added an extra layer of credibility to it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think we also have to keep in mind that Tallman's coming back as head writer with White Soul and not as executive producer. So there's a different dynamic there.
Right.
It seems like NBC's a little bit more involved these days. I mean, I'm seeing promos on the evening, you know, in the primetime slot.
Yeah,
for Days.
It tonight, didn't they, in that Betty White off her rocker, I think, was that on? I saw somebody tweet. They played the jammy promo for next week. Or, you know, they can't fight their sexual tension.
Yeah, that's on the blog, actually. If anyone wants to watch the clip. Have up on the blog
Of course, apparently the promo is misleading from the spoilers I read, but that's the whole point, is to get people to know. And, you know.
Hey, I just happened to see a half-naked EJ, and I was like, That got my
attention. Oh, yeah. Pause, you know, rewind,
yeah,
pause.
Rewind.
Pause.
And like I always say, I'm Jammy and Lumi. I'm just not anything. I'm just not Rafe. I'm not safe at all. But
mm-hmm.
Jammy, Lumi, I'm happy. I love both of the equal. I love them for different reasons. So when I saw Half Naked James, I thought, well, you know, it can't be all bad. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. When I saw the news, I think none of us were surprised that the head writer let go because they took down their Twitter account. They don't Marlene's back up because she was.
Yeah, that was kind of writing on the wall. Yeah. I mean, I was surprised that it just kind of snuck up on us. Usually we get some kind of, you know, little bit of rumor or some little hint, and then it comes down. But to me, unless I missed it,
what I want to know is what kind of golden fairy dust was Dina flying around that she lasted for as long as she did.
Well, her first
you know?
Time though, I think, or her one time, I think she only lasted 4 months.
Oh.
She was writing in the early 90s. I remember Sherry Anderson actually was the head writer, and Dina was one of the other writers.
They would have brought
her
back.
Yeah, and they let Dina go back then, and then she was let go again as a head writer, I think right before Jim Riley came back in 2004. And I think she only lasted a few months then. And then she was, I think, on, was it One Life or Guiding Light? And she won an Emmy.
One Life.
They fired her. Yeah, they fired her ass real quick on that one, too. she's been fired a lot.
But then she was here for, like, 3 years plus.
Yeah.
You know, before they fired her. And I'm just like, and then so then they fired these guys. And I'm like, well, maybe they just realized that things, you know, that the direction wasn't going where they wanted as far as NBC or, you know, executive producers or whatever were. And so they finally said, okay, we just need to cut our losses now, you know, and went ahead and did it. So, you know, who knows? Maybe, we never know, you know, maybe Tomlin, those guys approached him and said, look, here's our vision. Here's what we think. I've got this team together that can come in and deliver XYZ to you. What do you think? You know, I don't know how those behind-the-scenes negotiations work, but, you know, maybe they came in with a package and sold it, and they said, okay, you guys are gone. I mean, I don't know. But.
Well, and my question is, was it the previous Dream Team's idea to bring up history to redo, you know, Gina and the Pawn, have the whole Abby Austin thing, which was a remake of Sammy and Austin 15 years ago. Was it their idea to recycle storylines, or was that NBC? Because to me, that's not going to bring viewers in. I mean, you know.
I almost wish that we'd know. I wish that Marlene, I wish somebody would say, look, these were the things that I did. These are the things I wanted to do. This is what I was. I would love it if somebody would, you know, outline that. But honestly, I have to say, I poo-pooed the idea of the Austin Abbey thing a long time ago, and I ended up thoroughly enjoying that story. I have to admit.
You did.
See, I didn't watch
it
in the 90s.
It didn't drag it on, which is good.
Yeah, exactly. But I didn't watch during most of the 90s. I watched the 80s, and then I skipped most of the 90s, and I started watching again around 2006. So other than clips that I've seen on YouTube and going back and history and all that, I wasn't watching during some of that. So for me, it wasn't necessarily a repeat or whatever. But I actually enjoyed that story because of all the angles with Carrie and Ray. You know, just I mean, even Rafe became a little more interesting to me based on that story. So I'm like, you know, for me, it wasn't a bad story. I actually thought they kind of made more of it than I ever thought they could out of it. But then what bothered me was instead of capitalizing on, like one of my friends, Sherry, had said, well, you know, they ought to capitalize on the mental health issues in the family with Laura. And, you know, mental health skips a generation. They totally could have had Abby be, like, damaged that way and need to be, you know, need not damaged, but need help, you know, with that. They could have really played on that. They could have played on that, and Jack and Jen could have really been a key part in helping her, and it also would have allowed Jen to have that history and revisit that and, you know, how it impacted her, having her mother mentally ill like that. They could have really done a great job. And I thought they, all the way through to the end, I thought the Abby story was, I thought I enjoyed it. But then the next day, it's kind of like, it was kind of like Jennifer when she got her heart put back in her body.
Yeah.
And 2 days later, she's at the cafe, you know, she's at the Brady Pub, you know.
Eating a hamburger.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, like all people do that have theoretically
open
survived without a heart for several hours, you know, and then had it put back in.
And then
so,
the next day have a,
you know, so,
date
so my,
with
the thing that bothered me was just that, they, and we haven't seen this story unfold. Maybe she'll be a little psycho in this one, too. I don't know. But she seemed to be like, all of a sudden come to her senses and be like, okay, I realized that, you know, this isn't going anywhere, and it was all in my head, and da-da-da-da. And so it would be my wish that the writers would circle back around on that, not revisit that story, but definitely, you know, hold on to Jack and Jen and have them involved in a story with Abby helping their daughter with this issue. They could still,
mm-hmm.
you could still have the romance and everything, but...
Well,
anyway,
I know that I am, you know, Jack and Jennifer are my couple. They're my everything, you know, they're my screen name, my handle,
yeah.
everything. But they have been totally underused, Jack especially.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, for Jennifer to be Daniel, Jack, you know, okay. And, you know, all of a sudden for them to have, you know, talk about it, the 25-minute reunion yesterday, which is all we get. They're not going to be on screen for the next few months. And I don't see them being on the show in the next month. That's just, I hope I'm off. Anybody's listening to me, you know, please save them. But they Jack has been totally underused since he came back. He had some good stuff at the beginning, and then it just became that he was just the third wheel on the Daniel Jennifer.
Story.
Yeah,
he
dropped
the story
like we talked about. Yeah, I mean, the storyline with this postpartum depression could have been great if they would have went with it. They did, what, 2 sessions? They let him meet with the veterans, which was awesome, and then they've just dropped it. He talked about it a little yesterday about how he's scared of noises and doors shutting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they just dropped it. I mean, that was potential.
Yeah, post-traumatic stress, not postpartum.
Right. Did I say postpartum?
I think so. Jack didn't give birth.
I'm sorry. Hey, you know what I mean.
That was funny.
Post-traumatic stress.
Is she talking about Chloe? What's going on?
Sorry, I was just wound up. No,
that's
all right.
Good.
Anyway, they dropped that story, and they could tickle myself now. But they could have went more with that, and they're doing that to a lot of characters. I mean, it's not, you know, just them. They're not using the talent that they have on staff, in my opinion. And you know, it's a shame. And those talented actors and actresses are probably going to lose their jobs, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I mean, they could have done a lot more with those characters, in my opinion. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh yeah. Especially everything's Matt's going to get an Emmy nomination. So.
I think he did he or I know he it got submitted for his.
Oh, everybody thinks he deserves one.
He does deserve one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking forward to seeing more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, they could always go back to it. The new writers could if they choose to, you know, go that way.
Let me get Sarah on. The poor girl's been on hold forever. Hey, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello. What's up?
Thanks for the magic shout-out.
Yeah, they're not on.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, they haven't been on for a while, have they?
Nope.
Like, no.
It's been a while.
They must have had the same contract as Bo.
Well, he was on.
Last time we saw him was on vacation.
No, Peter Recker was on vacation. So that's why he was off.
That's cool. I didn't know. I figured it was a guaranteed episodes thing or something like that, maybe.
I don't know.
They're actually right now, what's on the air now, stuff they shot after Christmas. So he just asked for longer Christmas break. It's in Silver Digest, I think, this week.
Well, I mean, that's cool. You have to spend time with his family, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. It was probably best he didn't see the Gina performance. No, it was really, you know, Bo Brady, the luckiest man of all. He was in a medically induced coma during the Alameda.
That's what I tweeted. Are you serious? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Great minds think alike. I did not see that, but I totally
I'm feeling it there.
Something
like that, yeah.
So funny. Oh, yes,
Bo
we think alike.
All this. Yeah.
I mean, and I hate it because I love Christian Alfonso and I love Drake Hogestein. I really do. But I love Stephanie, you know, I love Joe Mascola, but oh my gosh, it's bad. I mean, wow. It's like I've fast forwarded through like probably 80% of, you know, of the story, because of that part of the story, because I'm just like, why are we doing this again? The thing of it is, they had that huge build-up to Stefano's letter. I mean, for how many weeks were we talking about
what's
in this damn letter? And we still haven't resolved that all these months later. And again, it's one of those things where the writers need to have balance, because some things they wrap up just like that. Remember when Dina Higley, when she first came back, she was like, even the characters were saying, such and such got resolved, and somebody else would go, just like that, you know? It's like, you know, some of these things are wrapped up so quickly, you're like, oh, I was just getting into that story, and now it's over. But then others, it's like dragging out, repeating the dialogue and dragging out that, you know, what's in the damn safety deposit box. And then when they finally get the information, he takes off, and it's been, what, at least a month that he's been, a month in our time that he's been out of town in Alemania doing this thing. And it's like, I almost forgot why he was even, I almost forgot why he even left town. And I'm like, that egg must have another secret in it or something. That's right, you know. But it's just, that's just crazy. I don't know. Oh, so annoying. Oh.
And so much talk of an egg right here at Easter. I mean, was, you know, what's going on? I mean, was the letter from the Easter Bunny saying, I really need this egg?
Everyone wanted to know what made Stefano cry. They had the peak, you know, drama there right before he leaves town, and then now people are forgetting why he even left and that there even was a secret. And
what if
they
forget it and they never go back to it, and we never know what was in that damn
envelope? Oh my gosh! I think
I won't forget anymore. Then I'll forget. I won't forget about Victor's little secret either.
Right. Now, they haven't played on that yet either. They still have not played that card. What's up with that?
Mm-hmm. Do you think they regret making Daniel Maggie's son?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
What's that? Say that again. What?
But do you think they regret making Daniel Maggie's son? Did I say that one right?
Yeah, I don't know if they regret it. I know some of us do.
Some of you do. I like it, but, you know.
Well, I mean, I liked that it gave him story, gave, you know, Victor and Maggie's story. I like that part, but I think...
But they dropped it, but
it's like, okay, so now there's this big secret, and now it's not going to matter. It's kind of like, it reminds me of when... Although it's not the same, but I remember back a few years ago, I wish I didn't remember this, but when Chloe had been cheating on Lucas, and every single person, including Maxine, who is nowhere to be found anymore, knew that Chloe had cheated on Lucas. And yet Lucas didn't know. And when they, after all those months, when he finally comes through those doors of the hospital, and I think Kate and Victor had, or somebody had to tell him, it was kind of like, it was so anticlimactic. It wasn't even funny, you know? And so it's like, I don't know. I don't know. With this Daniel thing, now if they bring it up, how are they, you know, I guess they could still make drama out of it, you know, but.
That
thing just reminded me
of the
Office.
Better be drama.
Of the what?
You just reminded me of the Office. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
If they do, there better be drama.
Yeah. No, about the Lucas thing where everybody knew that she was cheating on him, but Lucas, it reminded me of the time of the episode of The Office where everybody knew that Dwight and Angela were sleeping with each other, but Andy Everybody in the office knew it, but Andy. That's it. She just reminded me. I'm sorry. Maybe they get their storylines from The Office. I don't know. It would be much more entertaining if they did.
Okay, you guys want to talk about? Oh, hey, Anna, we didn't talk about Kate and Ian.
Oh yeah,
how things were heating up on Friday.
Yeah,
we didn't talk about that.
We didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I loved it. Well, first of all, I will say I do have complaints about their story with as far as the writing goes. So, I'm really hoping that the new writers will fix this or somehow make it work. But it's just been, like, all over the place. You know, one minute he's, like, fawning all over Madison, and then, you know, whatever. But I do really like Ian. I really like I really love his character. I love him as an actor. And I love seeing him and Lauren play together. So let's hope that the new writers don't, like, drop this story or whatever. But I love how, you know, they were still true to Stefano and Kate, you know, because you could tell that, okay, well, I guess we should follow. She, of course, accidentally runs into him, accidentally in quotes, at the Hortontown Center, or Square, whatever. And she, and it's kind of funny because, you know, he can tell she's upset and everything. He's like, would you like to go someplace private to talk? And I'm like, yes, finally. Sure. No, but anyway, literally, she's like, yeah, really, let's go. So they go to his hotel room, and, you know, she tells him about how upset and hurt she is that Stefano's apparently still, you know, hooked on his, you know, queen of the night, Marlena. And, you know, and Ian can tell she's crushed and everything. And it was nice because you could tell she's really heartbroken over it. She really is heartbroken because she loves Stefano. So it makes for good, you know, soapy drama that it's not like she's just dismissing him. She's heartbroken because here she finds out she hasn't been able to talk to her husband for days. He hasn't returned her calls or anything. He leaves her this stupid little note, leaves town, and then nothing for this whole entire time. So, you know, so she's frustrated, and then she finds out he's tracking Marlena's every move. And so that just stirs up all these insecurities because for those of you who really, really watch Kate, you know that this is a sensitive spot for her because even when he very first proposed marriage to her years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, she said something like, isn't Marlena your queen of the night or whatever, you know. So she still has that thing, you know, she's like in the back of her mind, there's a part of her that still feels that insecurity. And so this is really getting to her. This is really breaking her heart that she's thinking that Stefano is like tracking her and maybe even cheating, you know, whatever. She knows that he's not cheating on her per se, but it's an affair of the heart maybe is what she's thinking. I don't know. Anyway, so Ian comforts her and listens to her, and basically it comes out like she shares how like basically hurt she was that he just abruptly left her, meaning Ian, all these years ago. And Ian explains to her that back when that happened, he was in a big takeover deal, and the competitor hired a private detective and discovered that his lady love, Kate, had a rather checkered past, i.e., you know, high-class call girl history, and because she was rising in the ranks at the time in her profession, in her business world, he wanted to protect her from that being exposed. He didn't want her to ruin everything that she had gained, you know, as she started to get into business and everything. So, a legitimate business, I guess you should say. So, he basically knew he had to break it off, and it had to seem real and be permanent in order to throw the competitor off that was threatening to blackmail him, because that took the gusto out of his argument. If, you know, if he was no longer attached to Kate, then this guy would have no hold over him. So anyway, so she suddenly learns that all these years ago, this person she really loved didn't just break up with her because he didn't care about her. He broke up because he loved her and he wanted to protect her. So that changed everything. And there's this little thing about she said something like, I knew that we could I would never be able to be with you again. And she said, what's been in my experience that never never isn't, I don't know how she said it exactly, it was like, never isn't always never. And so, of course, he took that as a sign, and he moved in for the kiss. So Friday we leave them kissing very, very close, standing kissing very close to a bed. And so tune in Monday for the remainder of that kissing session, we'll say. So, so I don't know. What do you guys think about it, or what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, I read some spoilers that Stefano set Kate up. Did you read that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there's something about, I've heard this before, but there's speculation that Ian's going to be Lucas's dad, that it's not going to be Bill Horton's, that Lucas is not Bill.
Yeah, I've
Lucas
heard different speculation for different things, but Ian's definitely going to figure in somehow with some things. But I saw something about his cane has a Dimera emblem on it or something.
Yes,
or has,
I read that too. It has the phoenix or it has the Dimera emblem on the cane. So.
And I don't know about anybody else. I mean, this might, honestly, this could totally just be, this is part of their backstory and it means nothing and I haven't seen any spoilers or anything. But it kind of jumped out at me that when Kate said, well, take, ooh, what's that noise again? Sorry, some sort of noise in the background. That there's something when he said that about this competitor, she says, well, takeovers take weeks or, you know, can take weeks or months to happen, you know, like, basically, why couldn't you come back later, you know, kind of thing. And he said that this was somebody he bucked up against for years. And it kind of made me think, okay, if he's somehow tied to Demira's, based on this spoiler, that could that competitor have been, because he said something about that person has been handled, or the competitors have been handled. So basically they're not an issue anymore. So then I got to thinking, okay, what if his competitor was Santo or somebody like that, or Stefano even, or something like that, and their motivation was to break up Ian and Kate somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's going to come into play later or not, but since Stefano knew Kate back in the day, because that's who he was, you know, when he was her pimp, then it seems like he would already have that information, wouldn't even need to hire a private detective, but maybe he didn't want Ian with her, so I don't know, you know, so it just made me think, oh, is that a little red herring, is that an insignificant thing other than for the sake of this backstory, or are they going to pick up on that later, because Kate did ask him about it, like, well, once that deal was over with, why couldn't you just come, you know, and maybe that was just to help explain why he didn't come back till now. But I don't know. I just want to throw that out. It might mean nothing, but anyway, I don't know. Any other thoughts or anything on it?
I think it's actually an interesting storyline.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I like the idea of, you know, it creates angst for Stefano and Kate. It creates a new romance possibility for Kate, which I'm always happy about because I love seeing Kate. We obviously
It gives Stefano a reason to actually be Stefano.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Exactly. Because we've forgotten that Stefano is actually Stefano Dimera.
Right.
So, yeah. And any time, some people are critical of having, kind of like I was earlier about having the surprise brother that shows up in Lexi's life right as she's finding out she's dying. But, you know, it's always great stuff being a surprise kid or surprise, you know, the surprise relationship that nobody knew about or whatever. That's part of what makes soaps great. So I'm excited about where this could lead and what the implications could mean to some of the other characters and everything. So.
Yeah, I just... To me, I thought
Stefano testing Kate was a foolish thing to do. You don't do that to your spouse. That's
that was
not kinda
cool
odd. At all.
Like, why is that? I mean, yeah, but maybe that's meant to make us, like, hate Stefano again. You know what I mean? It's like, I think it's going to, the drama is going to unfold. So I'm thinking that it seemed like a artificial way of doing it, a contrived way of doing it. But,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is. So I'm going with it.
Yeah, I just, I guess he was just dodging her calls on purpose. I thought Sally did better that he was missing his calls because he was, you know, messing up the frequencies or whatever on Mania, and that was screwing up his phone, too. To me, I
right.
thought the storyline would be better that everything backfired on Stefano. He was trying to break up John Marlena and Beau and Hope, and instead it was his marriage that broke up.
Well,
he was
that's
what I thought they were going for all along. That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's a better angle right there, yeah.
Because it would have made sense. Yeah, he's neglected his wife. She doesn't know where he is. She finds out that he's tailing Marlena again. But, you know, the thing is, though, deep down, though, Kate knows he's with Sean and Hope. She knows.
Right,
that. So, you know. But to me, that's what I thought they were going for, was that Stephanie was trying to break up the other couples, and he ended up breaking up his own family. And
right.
to me, that made sense. Instead of him basically, he practically threw Kate at Ian.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah, and that's rather bizarre. I mean, that's the thing. Maybe some more stuff will unfold, but, so we'll be able to see, like, what the whole plan is or whatever. But, it just seemed like, you know, they weren't in a really rocky part of their relationship either. I mean, other than Ian showing up at their, I mean, he did show up at the mansion once, but he was already out of town by that time. And, of course, they did kiss. They ran into each other and they kissed. The only thing I can think of is if he ties it back to, well, you know, because it almost seems like he's just doing this for the sake of doing it otherwise, you know, just messing with her. And the only thing I can think of is if he, you know, his goons or somebody spotted him, or the mysterious Stefano DiMera, all-seeing, all-knowing camera in the Horton Town Square that was tracking Marlena, that it also saw Kate kissing Ian, you know, a month ago or whatever. So, because, I mean, they did have a rather public display of affection when he first came to town. So maybe the writers will use that as, Stefano caught wind of that and decided he was going to test Kate while he was out of town, do a two-for-one, and go after, you know, break up John and Marlena, but also test Kate, find out how strong their marriage was. It's possible they go back to that and say that's why he decided to do that, because right now there's no motivation. The last he knew, she was happily married to him and loves him and cares about him, and he cares about her. So, you know, that's the only thing I can think of is if they tie it back to he found out or saw that they were kissing out there like that. So,
if you think your spouse is kissing someone else, it's usually not a good idea to skip town and not answer the phone.
Let's have her married to someone hot like Kate DiMera. I mean, come on.
The girl's got to have it. You can't leave her alone like that.
But I have to admit, though, there seems to me, and I've heard a lot of other people say the same thing, Kate and Ian's scenes reminded them of, like, the old soapy stuff, you know, where it's like, I've always loved you, I've always, you know, and he seemed rather sincere, you know, it didn't seem like he was playing her. You know, my marriage to Madison is a name only. I've always loved you, and I do love you now, you know, that kind of thing. To me, that really was a throwback, and I personally enjoyed that. I felt like it was, you know, pretty soapy and setting us up for some good, you know, good drama. So we'll see how it goes.
let's discuss Will. That actually story finally moved forward. Finally, admitted he's gay, even though I think we've all suspected that for well over a year now. And he told Marlena, and I have to say, I'm glad this
forward because basically he's been having the same conversation with Marlena for a couple of weeks now.
Is it just
and,
me or she's been following him around?
Yeah, I mean, I know. That's a lot of running into your grandma. I mean, it seems like she's always at the Horton Square. You know what I mean?
Grandma's stalker.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Best thing for Will that happened to Will is if John finally makes it back home and Marlena gets off his back for a couple of minutes. But, yeah, Will's still concerned about telling Lumi. And he's concerned about telling Gabby, which I can understand that. I can understand him. Yeah. She's going to be pissed. I mean, she's psycho now, but she's really going to lose it.
You know, thanks for everything, but, yeah, you didn't do it for me.
Yeah, remember when that sex wasn't good? There's a reason, because I like guys.
Yeah. I really, really tried to picture
Top two
Sunny,
things.
But it didn't work.
It worked for her, though. I got the press, and she enjoyed it after it was over.
There you go. She wanted more. Yeah, so he said that he went around town saying that so did he say it twice this week? It seemed like he said he was gay towards the beginning of the week, and it seemed like he said later... He said it again.
I don't know. He kept changing his mind, so I was getting confused. But Friday, he was saying it a lot. To just Marlena only, though. No one else heard.
Yeah.
Well, next week he tells Sunny, I believe.
My favorite line was when he said something to the effect, I wasn't even paying attention, and I think I was tweeting or doing something, and he said something like, she said something like, you need to talk to Sonny or something. He goes, yeah, but I don't want him to feel like he's my gay life coach or something like that. What was it? It was a really cute line.
Yeah, that's what
I was
it was.
Like,
it was, yeah.
Crack me up. I thought that was cute. So far they've really, as we've said before, they've really hit all the right notes on this story. I mean, they've even had a sense of humor about it, which is nice,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And they didn't rush it, which is a good thing.
Yes.
They didn't try to rush it.
Yeah.
They took their time.
Because
I
know when we first figured out that they were going to do this, it was like a collective groan, like, oh dear, Dave doesn't do responsible things like this well, you know, sensitive topics well.
Didn't it first get leaked about a year ago that they were going to go in that direction, and they're just now having, you know, him come out? Which I think, we say a lot about what they've done, but I do agree that I think that the Will storyline they've done pretty good with.
Yeah, well, and you know, another key point to this is there's that thing about, you know, people often, including myself, complain about, you can think back to things where they repeated themselves over and over again, stretched storylines out forever, like what's in the box, what's in, you know, and the stuff in Alamania, or like the baby, the rubber baby bumper, bumpy bumper whatever thing with Nicole, you know, where they rehash. But this is a perfect example. This is the kind of story that you could take to a soap writing class or something and say, this is how you build a story. This is how you develop a story. This is how you make it pay off and how you keep people interested in the meantime. Because other than, like, the repetitive dialogue he and Marlena have been having lately, for the most part, there have been a lot. I mean, like, even the fact that they have this whole dual thing where he's feeling all this angst about his mother and everybody else in the room's thinking, he's gay, that's why he's suffering. But it was partly that, underneath it all, that's what it was. But every time somebody would think he was going to say, well, I'm gay, he would be like, no, my mom slept with EJ. And so I loved how they did, they really did, I'll even say, between the two sets of groups of writers that handled this story, they did a pretty masterful job of keeping us engaged in a story, honestly, I didn't think I'd be that interested in, but it turned out I was. And Chandler Massey can carry it off. He is a great actor. He is amazing. He better win an Emmy. Let me just tell you, that kid deserves an Emmy. So, you know, that's my thought on it. I think it shows you the perfect way where you can, because they say, sometimes people say, oh, well, soap fans, they need a quicker turnaround now. But no, you need to have payoff, many payoffs along the way to keep people engaged. But you don't have to finish a story
you know, slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, you can tell a story and stretch it out and make it an umbrella story like they have with this, but yet still keep us interested. So.
Right.
Okay, what haven't we discussed yet?
About the whole
kerfluffle with Rafe, Nicole, Sammy, and EJ and Lucas.
Oh.
Rafe told EJ Rafe is the baby daddy, and of course EJ didn't buy it. Good for him. And demanded a maturity test. Yeah. Demanded a paternity test. And I saw in the spoilers, they're saying Nicole can't have one until the 10-week mark. And I don't even think it's possible then.
Mm-hmm.
But since I had to, I mean, especially with her, she would have to get an amnio and with her
pregnancy.
She shouldn't
have anything done with a high-risk pregnancy like that. They'd be like, no way in heck you're going to have a paternity test at this point.
Yeah, exactly, and she should not get an amnio because they do cause miscarriages and sometimes deformities, and they're painful. My best friend had one.
The collective ejamination is hoping she has one tomorrow, but that's another story.
That's true.
Just mean. I
know. I think
Nicole have her baby.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, to me, it doesn't take anything away if you're jammy or whatever. Because, let's face it, most of the baby daddies aren't with their actual kids anyway. So it's not like just because you have a kid, you're going to be with them forever on a soap.
Especially in Salem. Your dad dies and comes back 15 years later as a different person. I mean, come on.
Exactly. So I feel the same way. And, you know, Ari is such a great performer that she just makes you, I mean, as horrible as Nicole is, 90% of the, you just feel for her, you know?
I love Nicole.
I mean, I got to say, I have to say, I may have said this last week too, but I honestly enjoyed Rafe and Nicole together, and I don't know why, other than the fact that Ari makes them interesting to me. Because, I mean, and nothing against the actor, but I'm just not a Rafe fan. He's an attractive man. Yeah, the actor's an attractive man. But I have to admit, there is something really appealing about them together. And so, I don't know. That would be an interesting direction to maybe go and have Brady come back into the picture, you know, at some point, which Madison will leave town, and then we could, you know, have Brady freed up to be a free agent and, you know, all
what's
that.
What's the name of those cough drops? Ricola? Ricola?
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, that's them. They're those cough drops.
There you go. I don't know, but even some of the hoochies that can't stand Rafe, we all kind of, not all of us, and there's definitely people who don't agree, but a handful of us are like, yeah, this is actually not a bad idea here, you know, kind of appealing here. So I don't know, we'll see, but
we'll see where they go. But haven't we learned that Lummi is going to reunite very soon?
Say that again.
Oh yeah.
Lucas and Sammy, aren't they going to? Yeah, Lumi, aren't they going to?
Oh yeah,
do
some. Yeah, I think they're going to be breaking some beds this week, aren't they?
I don't know if it's this week or not, but I mean,
it's
way too soon. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know why they're rushing it, especially when Sammy, kind of. I mean, her marriage. I don't think she's over Rafe at all, and she's getting feelings for EJ, and she's having feelings for Lucas, and it makes her look terrible.
Of course.
That, I mean, it makes her look as fickle as hell.
Not that she hasn't been fickle before.
Make Google Eyes at Austin and then give Brandon a phone call and you'll have her complete history there.
Yeah.
There you go. She's a spoiler for Lucas then, because then Lucas has this relationship in Hong Kong that she's then going to ruin, but I think it would actually be kind of cool if, like, Autumn came into town and she was, like, kick-ass awesome, and she gave Sammy a run for her money. I think that would be fun. I think that. And then Sammy could still never remember her name. We could have that going forever. You know, I love that. I got Brian to reveal, no pun intended, that he does, you know, because I asked him on the interview a week ago, I said, well, so did they let you keep the tattoo? You know, because he has an actual tattoo that looks sort of similar to a Demira emblem.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, they made him cover it up with makeup if he had
mm-hmm.
a shirtless scene. And then after his short stint in prison, they let him show it as a way of, you know, well, he's been to prison now, and everybody in prison has a tattoo. So
mm-hmm.
So they let him reveal it. So I asked him, I said, so are we going to see the tattoo anytime soon? And he was like, oh, yeah, you know, so that, I was like, okay, we got some shirtless scenes coming. That's all I needed to know.
Sneaky.
I know. That was good, wasn't it? No, but it's that investigative journalism we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
You and I graduated
exactly.
from the same journalism school.
We sure did.
So we'll get to see him shirtless at some point anyway, fairly soon. But, yeah, well, then that's really confusing since they put out that Ijami promo for next week. So now I'm confused
right.
about that.
Because
mm-hmm. I didn't think that was happening so soon. So,
but they're not happening. That's the promo is misleading. Apparently they have a big kiss, and the reason they kiss is to decide that they do not have feelings for each other. But then her
mm-hmm.
pipes break or something, and EJ has to come and fix them. Yes, the mayor of Salem, Demira, is going to take his shirt off, and he's going to be your plumber. That's what I do,
sure
Salem. That's why you elected
sure
me, because
didn't
I get
go in and
for
break
you.
The pipe. I'm not so sure Sammy didn't go in and break those pipes on purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like he would know anything about fixing a pipe to begin with. Oh, man,
no.
That's funny.
He wouldn't. First off, he's English. He's a Demira. He's not going to know.
Well, let's clarify this. Not that English people might not know how to fix the pipe,
him. He's a man of
and
privilege.
And plus they have different kinds of pipes.
Yeah,
they use
the
metric system. They use the metric system over there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Something.
No
offense
to anyone from England. I'm sorry.
Seriously, though, that's like, seriously, that's what the story is? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, well.
Mm-hmm. I read that
right.
Earlier today. Yeah.
But I heard that there was some discussion. I'd seen some discussion about the editing of that clip, of that promo, but some debate over whether that
yes.
how it was.
Yeah, they were talking about it on Twitter earlier with Hey Jude, weren't they?
Yeah.
She had some
uh-huh.
stuff to say.
Yeah. Yeah, she weighed in on how it was, how she didn't think, she felt like the editing wasn't done very well or whatever. So I like her. She seems like a cool lady. But,
mm-hmm.
So I don't know. So, yeah. Oh, but,
I am glad, though, that EJ knows Nicole's pregnant and they didn't have her hiding the
yes.
baby.
Oh, my
from him
gosh.
Yes.
For
yeah.
months and
she
months.
She just keeps
and
wearing
months.
Bigger and bigger purses.
Mm-hmm. She sees at Horton Square and says, sweetheart, how many bags do you need? I mean, you know.
I mean, especially after he had to be married to her for all those months where she had a fake baby in her stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like.
Yes, EJ's not too observant, is he?
And, you know, people in Salem still haven't learned to shut the hell up when they're in a public place. I mean,
I know.
That's just so funny. And then, I'm not sure, but wasn't there some, like when Ken or somebody was espousing the virtues of the new regime last fall, he said something like, and no more of this, you know, standing and talking to yourself and, you know, exposing things, you know, people standing in bushes overhearing things. And it's like, hello?
Now they decide, but now listen, instead of standing in bushes, they stand behind poles at Horton Square. It is different.
There you go.
Okay?
There
or
you
the
go.
Wall.
Exactly.
It's not a bush.
But, you know, people can be so picky. I was laughing. Hopefully it wasn't any of you guys, but I saw somebody complaining about how there were extras milling around in Horton Town Square. And I was like, you know, it's kind of nice to know that somebody's economy is working.
Well, I mean, it used to be they would go into the pub and it would just be the characters and maybe one waitress would walk by, maybe. I mean,
the waitress was waving the Livman or whatever it is, broom around the room or whatever.
Yes, exactly, as a product placement. And then she set the mite all down on the table.
Right. Let's just
yeah.
hope, I am just hoping to God that we do not have a Depends. We do not have a Lisa Rinna Depends product placement ad any time in our future. I mean, Midol, we suffered through it, but we lived. Depends,
Chex
I'm not so sure. Cheetos, Cheerios, checks. Coke. White Chang, or what is it? White, the frozen. Yeah, Antizers. I still have Max Brady's Antizers burned into my brain. So, but. Please no Depends.
I think Caroline and Kayla could do a really good Depends ad.
Oh, no.
Sitting at the bar at Brady Pub.
Please no. I mean, I'm not, and again, no offense to anyone who has that issue. I'm not, seriously. But it's just like, there's just some things that we really don't want to see, on TV, on our show. So please do not do that to us.
Well, some soap operas are supposed to be glamorous. I don't really see that as something that's glamorous.
Well, I loved how that commercial, though, was on the red carpet. And then there was I'm thinking, the fact that her husband was in it as well. And then he looks at her like she's this hot chick after she walks off and she's in. I'm like, what did we come to as a society when adult diapers end up being sexy? I mean, not that I think there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying. It's like, okay. But anyway, enough of that. But let's just hope they don't do a product placement for that one.
Not that.
When they're doing diapers, they should have Madison with that god-awful skirt she was wearing a few weeks ago, remember? That was
that
bad.
That girl. Hey, and also, have you noticed that nobody's working anymore? All of a sudden, like in the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's like all the sets are gone. So, Kate's office is MIA. Madison's working out of the Brady Pub again. Did they have to sell off some of their sets to, keep the show on?
They might have. Now there's nothing going on at Titan.
I'm hoping maybe they're rotating it around because of the hospital set or something. I don't know how that works, but and they've got Common Grounds now, so that's cool. But
didn't the hospital set look different? Doesn't it look different?
Yeah,
they're not using the nurses' station. Apparently,
because that's still at the day spa. The nurses' station is still over at the reception area of the day spa, I think.
Which, with Quinn being gone, who runs the day spa, and are they just going to dump the spa then?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm still holding out for some more shirtless martial arts classes. So please don't take that away from me yet this day.
They can do those in the middle of Horton Square.
That's true. I thought it was really funny the first time we ever see a big billboard site, not billboard, a big placard that has a thing about Intensity Day Spa. It has maternity massages on it for Nicole to, look at. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. She's not quite there yet for the pregnancy massage. She's a ways to go before that.
Yeah, you have to kind of gain the weight first and things start aching.
Usually you have to have a belly bump in order for them to have the special bed that they put you on. Okay, so that was a little bit of a interesting little thing there. I also thought it was interesting, I mentioned Common Ground a second ago, did everybody catch that EJ was purposely at Common Ground because of the diversity? He said something like, it's because of a diverse crowd or whatever. I'm like, seriously? Come on. I mean, really, it's a coffee shop. Anyone's allowed? It's not like there's a banner outside of Brady's Pub that says, no gays allowed or anything. I mean, that was kind of silly, I thought. I don't know, but
yeah, I
whatever.
Don't think Starbucks is discriminatory either, or Dunkin' Donuts or any other coffee places.
I mean, the Common Grounds thing is a cute name. I mean, that's a cute round word or anything. That's fine, but I thought when EJ said that, it cracked me up. I was like, I mean, I know he was being sarcastic, but the fact that they were trying to, still sort of promote this thing as a, anything more than a business and a coffee shop, I was like, what? I mean, that's why when they first said, a place where everyone can gather, young, old, gay, straight, and I was like, doesn't that define the Brady Pub?
I don't recall them
checking people's IDs, when you walk in. asking for your sexual preference or anything.
Oh. Somebody standing there with no offense, but their gaydar going, no, you can't come in. No.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez. Well.
You know what would be funny if Cameron, I don't know why this just popped in my head, that what if he's not interested in girls?
That's true.
We're assuming he's...
when you think about it, there has to be a third, you know, once...
Yeah.
Okay, once Sonny and Will do decide that they like each other and they go there, once they're a couple, there has to be an interloper, there has to be a third. So they're going to have to do that eventually.
Yeah.
Well, that thought actually crossed my mind today. Yeah.
Abby and Gabby
poor things. Gabby won't even have to change her name. Her couple name. Maybe Abby and Gabby will get together because they'll have both been rejected by gay guys.
Yes.
The gay
if Dave wants to push the envelope even further, go right ahead. My sense of humor gets me through my day, so
same here. Oh man.
Okay. Let's see, what happened Lexi. Poor Lexi.
Poor Lexi.
Oh, I know.
I just love her. I wish she was told Dave, well, Renee Jones is retiring. I wish she would have told Dave that no, you can't kill off Lexi. Because I would much prefer if Lexi just left town or disappeared mysteriously. Or they put her back in the tunnel like they did a few years ago.
Exactly.
But I just don't want to watch Lexi die. I just don't want to. I mean, adore her.
Well,
and I'm so excited that she was getting a real storyline.
I know. You know what I thought of? I was like, Theo. I'm like, oh my God, that kid is going to rip our damn hearts out.
I know.
Oh man, that's going to be so sad. You know, we haven't seen Sierra in forever. Did they ship her off to military school or something?
I wonder who's taking care of her. Hope's crazy as Princess Gina.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie's been baking muffins for Victor.
Caroline showed back up. I guess maybe she's watching her upstairs at the pub, maybe.
Good thing.
Kind of weird. Yeah.
And she'll come back 18 years old and go after Chad, too, I guess.
When Hope comes back, she does reunite with Sarah, so that's nice.
Oh, okay, good.
I hope she's there.
Yeah, it looks like the LMA stuff is supposed to wrap up soon, thank God. So.
Yeah, because at the end of yesterday's episode, did Hope remember that she was Hope and not Gina?
Yes, she did.
And then they're going to pretend so they can get away from Stefano?
Mm. Yeah. This whole thing's dumb.
It would have been better. I mean, that story could have been okay if it weren't for the horrible accent and the story not moving. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It was just like somebody on Twitter said, when did Princess Gina have time to get blonde highlights or streaks put in her hair?
Yeah.
My reply was commercial break. I mean,
prop department, hair and makeup.
This scene brought to you by Nice and Easy.
There you go.
There you go, product placement.
Oddly enough, also Sammy's nickname.
No. You know what cracks me up is out of the blue on some message board or on Twitter, someone just notices Kate has a blue streak in her hair. It's like, really? Where have you been?
Some idiot at one of them was bashing, like had a whole thread about it. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to go tweeting that because I don't want to keep bumping the thread. But I'm like, how ignorant. I mean, how stupid. Who cares? I mean, if it bought, you know, just shut up. You know, everybody can do what they want for their character and do, you know, every actor has things that they like to do to mm-hmm. add certain flavor for their characters. Why is it any, you know, I mean, I don't mind people innocently asking what it stands for or what it's for. I mean, because there's a, you know, there are reasons for, there are theories behind it, and Lauren herself addresses it at times. But it's like, I really don't mind if people ask about it, but for somebody to start some mean-spirited thread about it, come on, people, grow up, you mm-hmm. know?
I just don't understand why is it breaking news? I mean, it's been blue
Unless
for a couple years now.
In, or maybe, you know, like, I don't know. Who knows?
Were they in Whatever. Australia and just got the episodes? I mean,
I think Australia was only a year. Were they only a year behind now? Or I can't remember. So,
there's some country where Jack just found out he was sick. So there's some country
I think it's... Yeah, I think it's the European countries. It's not Australia.
Yeah.
I think Australia's like a year behind. Yeah.
But they had a big catch-up a few years ago, didn't they? They were pretty behind, and they, I think I read about that, but they were way behind, but what they did is they did a retrospective episode to catch them up. I don't know how many years they jumped ahead, but I guess it only took an hour to catch them up.
Wow.
Yeah,
an hour?
I mean, it was something like that. They had, like, one episode that were, I think you can find it on YouTube, where they just, they go through and they summarize everything that happened for how many ever years that they skipped. I'm not exactly sure how many years it was.
Wow. Oh, if you find it, please tweet it to me, because I would love to put that on the blog, because that'd be a really cool thing to watch.
Awesome. Wow.
I found it
a while back. I'll have to, of course, I was searching for Jack and Jennifer stuff, so I'll see, that's all I do.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But I'll see if I can find that. But, yeah, they had some kind of where they played catch-up. And they had, like, one episode where they caught them up for how many ever years. I think they're still, like, a year behind, but they're not five or six or how many ever they were.
Yeah, I think Australia, they did jump ahead, but I don't think they got the recap clip, though. I think they just jumped ahead. They were two or three years behind.
Who were you saying got the recap? The Europe?
Well, I know. I want to say, Sweden. I think Sweden or Germany is like 5 years behind.
Yeah, they are several years behind, I think.
Charles, so that's why they were coming in with blue hair. Okay.
But I'm saying the person who started the thread, I don't know because I didn't see it, but it's like the way they just started this whole thread devoted to it, and it was a mean-spirited thread. I'm just like, seriously, people, there are people dying around the world for different reasons, and this is important, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have those people that like to actually bash the actor or actress instead of the character.
Yeah.
I mean, We kind of make fun of Daniel. We're not making fun of the actor. We're making fun of Dr. Dan, who likes to grope his patients.
I guess it's true. I guess I shouldn't be a hypocrite. I started a thread back when I used to post at Sony. I started that thread about Daniel's nicknames, where we collect all of them. And it was up for several hours before they took it down. I guess I'm not completely innocent on that.
That's bashing the character, though. That's not bashing the actor. Kate's blue hair is bashing Lauren, though.
That's true.
That's different.
That's
because Lauren's hair is blue.
Exactly. But it's mean spirit. Well, and the other thing is that Sony, you supposedly couldn't call characters by nicknames that were derogatory. And I'm like, come on, that's half the fun.
Yes.
Please. But
Dr. Tan would have been bad.
Speaking of Daniel, I don't know if we covered this or not, but this whole, you know, I think Julie Pinson could have been a good match, but I'm not feeling the whole Lisa Rinna, Sean Christian vibe there.
No offense to her or Billy or anything, but I'm not feeling her being back at all. In fact, she can be one that goes, and I would be okay with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know what? She seems like a really nice person. She really
does.
Mm-hmm. I think it's given Dave some publicity. She got some national publicity out of it for her and for the show. And I mean, no offense to her or anything, because she seems like I said, nice person. But really, it's done nothing. I don't see, and it could just be the writing. I don't know. Maybe they didn't really,
because it seems to me like they're kind of sort of, they keep chem testing Billy and what's his name? They keep, well, let's
Daniel.
Have our non-coffee date, you know, again, you know. Okay, well, because it went over so well the first 14 times you did that, you know. but, and so maybe with the writing, because I know sometimes with the writing all over the place, it's hard for the actors to step in and be like, okay, are we supposed to be looking at each other lasciviously, or should, are we supposed to be looking at each other as BFFs, or are we supposed to be looking at each other as, you know, oh, I hate you because you're my daughter, that you tried to dump my daughter and you jumped my mother, you know.
I did
like
that.
I'm like, it just seems like it's forced and it's like there's nothing there. So not that I want
wow,
her to
Daniel
be
and
there.
A forced pairing? Never heard of that before.
Nothing as forced as the Chelsea one. That was bad.
Oh, that was awful.
That was really
bad. Oh, my
bad.
Gosh. You know,
if
they did
lucky,
have their fans. But...
if we're lucky,
yeah.
Maybe Billy and Daniel will fall madly in love and decide to go back to London together.
He can surf on the North Sea, waiting in and out of all the North Sea exploration.
Yes. Take him to some of those nude beaches over there. Well, let him get tanned.
There you go.
All we know is somebody's gonna go.
I'm sorry. It's just kind of gross that like she comes to town and it's like, okay, first thing out of her mouth is that, you know, basically she lets him know that it's not cool that he was with her mom and tried to be with her daughter, you know. And then
now
all of a sudden she's encouraging this, and I'm thinking, just because Kate happened to say, I forbid you from doing this, it's like, woman's in her 40s, okay? Come on, rebellion's a little late now, okay? Come on. You know, so I just was like, really? We're going to do this? This is gross, you know, but whatever, I don't know. I just don't see it, honestly, and I know this is disgusting, but I actually saw more chemistry between Jennifer and Daniel than I do between these two, and I'm not trying to be, you know, offensive or anything, but I just don't see anything. So, I mean, they're two good-looking, attractive people, but that ain't cutting it.
Well, let me ask you your personal opinion out of Daniel's affairs or flings or patient roping. Who do you think he best was matched with?
Honestly, of course, I'm biased. You're going to laugh, but Kate. I thought he had the most chemistry with her. And I thought the storyline with her cancer, it brought out a side of him that wasn't skeevy. But then the minute he started eyeballing Chloe, I was like, okay, you're back to loser status again. And because I felt like when they wrote that story, the seasonal lung cancer story, I felt like Kate, you know, it showed more of a sensitivity on his side and more, I don't know. Even though it was skeevy that she was his patient and all, I felt like they did have chemistry, and they kind of let up for months where they had this secret thing, and then they, whenever they saw each other, they were breathing heavy, but then they didn't act on it, and then all of a sudden they finally did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that part. I mean, that's actually one of the things that I really got into at that time, but after he started eyeballing Chloe and I realized he was going to, you know, go after her instead of Kate, I was like, and that grope scene, that scene right there when he examines Chloe, that forever will be burned in my memory. And, it was awful.
Yeah,
so,
I remember that one. I saw that. I remember that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I think that was one of Tomlin's. Oh. So now I think about it, that just really doesn't make me feel very good. But anyway, so... So if I had to say, that would be the one that I felt like he had the most, even though he's younger than she is, they seemed more in sync on some levels. I mean, Chelsea looked like she was 12. He looked like a pedophile, you know, just ugh. And Chloe and Daniel, I just never liked them from the word go, from the word lymph node exam. I just,
right.
Not going to happen. And I thought Daniel and Jennifer, friendship-wise, were okay. I didn't want the romance. So.
Yeah, well,
honestly, I think Lexi.
Okay.
Yeah, Lexi.
Yeah,
I know,
Lexi.
Even Lexi or even, God forbid. You know, actually,
Let me think about that.
When I interviewed Renee Jones, actually she was kind of disappointed they didn't do Lexi and Daniel, but she said she thought they were heading that direction in the very beginning,
and it
didn't happen. So.
Yeah, I remember they used to have these little, like, didn't he do lunch one time? He brought her, like, this, like, they had a meal in the hospital and he brought her or something. It was kind of cute, and, you know, it's, I don't know. Yeah, they kind of had a thing going there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems to me that they tested Daniel with several to see if there was anything. I'm not sure why he got dropped at Billy's feet, but. Yeah, well, you know, my thing is, if you have to, I mean, again, he's an attractive man. He's a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to keep trying that hard to fit someone somewhere, you kind of wonder, like, okay, why are we trying so hard?
Maybe it's just not going to work out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
So, I don't know. But, yeah, I kind of liked him with Nicole as a friend, you know, I guess. But
yeah. I wanted to bring up, there's only a few minutes left. What do you guys think about Beverly Todd as the new Celeste?
I think she's good. I mean, it's not Tonya Boyd, but.
No,
yeah.
And I still honestly felt for her. Because, maybe if you hadn't interviewed her, I would be harder on her. But I know she like was cast so quickly and had to go right into that role. And had no time to prepare, and she comes into this well-oiled machine with this heavy storyline, with characters that have all this rich history. And even though it was okay, I felt like, you know, we can't keep, you know, in our minds we've got the original, we've got Tonya Boyd in our minds, and she's never going to be that. And she even said in her interview she's not going to try to do that because. You know, it's how can you replace a character like that or an actor like that? You know?
Yeah.
But she had. I'm sure it was maybe things would get a little better once she gets used to it because it had to have been hard. I remember it was like last minute casting, and she probably had no time to even get into the character or anything. From what
I think they cast her on Friday and she had to work on Tuesday, something like that.
Yeah.
So it was super super fast.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think, Celeste and Abe?
Yeah,
I don't think they're gonna go there.
I saw that on Twitter. I hope they don't go there. But
if it made more sense, it was Tonya. I think not with Tonya. She's a bombshell. She really is.
But
I don't see Beverly Todd that way.
Do you think that that Celeste will remain in Salem once Lexi is gone? Do you think they'll keep the character there, or do you think maybe it's just a short stint until that storyline plays out? They'll probably leave Cameron, but do you think Celeste will stay? Would Celeste be needed? Or is Celeste going to be the one that Abe leans on to help him get through it, maybe not romantically, but as family-wise? Because he has no other family, unless they bring Brandon back, or Jonah, or Jed, or somebody.
Does he have a job right now, either? He doesn't have a job. He's not going to have a wife. He's like... Poor Abe.
Yeah. Abe's having the worst year ever. Yeah.
Yeah, losing his
Beverly Todd, as far as I know, she's not on contract. And I think someone asked Skylar Yancey if he was on contract, and he really didn't answer either. So, Skylar, I don't think he's on contract either.
So these could be temporary, and then when the new writers might come in and say, we don't like this, you know.
Yay or nay, or yeah. Seems like everybody's vulnerable right now, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
they could clean house tomorrow, and I guess they are. I guess they'll wait till after Easter. But
that's always nice to wait till after Easter to fire someone, even though they fired the writers before Easter. Yeah.
But they actually let them go last week, right? And it just didn't get out until this week, from what I read.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it sounds
They were out before Outfest, I think. Because they weren't at Outfest.
Right,
yeah.
And that whole thing was writer-oriented, you know, which is kind of sad. Why did they have to let him? I mean, you know, say what you will, whether you like him or not, but it's kind of sad that they were part of that storyline and they didn't get to be there for that.
Or maybe they had a choice and they just didn't go. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. They probably wouldn't let him go, though. They probably were afraid they were going to spill the beans.
Yeah, especially if they were bitter.
That's true. That's true.
Somebody asked them a question. They're like, I don't know. You'll have to ask the new writers.
Or they're afraid they'd go Horton Town Square on them. I'm going to go all Horton Town Square on you.
Well, it's time to wrap up the show. I want to remind everybody that Monday, 10 p.m. Eastern, we are in chatting with Lauren Coslow and Ian Buchanan. This is a joint chat. They're together.
Ooh,
it's not back-to-back interviews. It's consecutively. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm doing another 10-minute interview or not, but they've been kind of hit and miss lately. And they never made up the Suzanne Rogers one that they canceled a couple weeks ago. She had a cold, and they canceled it. So
I'm sure everything's in upheaval right now. They probably aren't too focused on,
Yeah, it's a shame, Bubs. I think these interviews, I mean, it doesn't cost them anything except for the phone bill. And, you know, they get press, once a week for it. And I don't see what, it was supposed to end in December. You know, it's April already, and they're still doing them. So, yes, I don't know.
I think it's a good idea. I think it's a great idea.
I agree.
Yeah, and we're talking to actors that don't normally get interviews. Like Renee Jones, usually she didn't want to be interviewed because she didn't want to do the whole celebrity thing. She was all about, she's just doing a job. So, but then she announced her retirement in Soap Digest. But TV Guy, excuse me, that was a TV Guy interview she did, I think.
That was a really good interview.
Yeah. You could see her point.
I'm happy for her.
Yeah, we're all happy for her. So,
wish they wouldn't kill Lexi off. I wish they would just write her out but not kill her off.
I know.
And they made it sound like it's a pretty convincing death, too, so.
Yeah. And, but Renee said that she's definitely dead. So that's really sad. I'm going to be crying over her. Oh, my God.
The only thing is don't make it cancer because my sister died of cancer a few years ago and I don't want my mom to have to watch that on TV. But then so she was happy that it was a tumor, but it's like that's still cancer, Maybe she meant that they didn't want it to be drawn out, like, to where she looked really horrible and all that or something. I don't know.
I haven't read anything on it. Does the storyline develop fairly quickly? Has she already filmed it?
Oh, yeah.
Is she already done?
I think she's already done. I could be wrong, but it sounded like she was pretty much wrapped on it.
Because
a while back, remember, Casey tweeted about some great scenes with Renee and someone else, and I can't remember who the other person was. And he tweeted about that.
Yeah.
So it was undoubtedly those scenes, I'm sure.
Yeah. I agree. I agree with you. I'll cry too.
Oh yeah. I'm glad she's going out classy and she's going out her way. And it's like it takes a lot of balls to just say, this isn't working anymore for me. I really want to retire. I love how she said, I've been saving my money since day one or whatever. I thought that's great.
And it doesn't rule out her coming back as a ghost. I mean, look at Isabella back every now and again.
That's true.
Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if she came back to next Stefano and EJ? That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that would be awesome. Yes.
How's Stefano going to take this? This is his last daughter dying, and he's already lost two daughters. This is his third daughter. This is his fifth child that's dead. There's Tony and Benji, too.
Tony's going to come back.
Tony's not dead. So, can you imagine having five of your children die?
We should remind the audience of that technical detail about how he put her under a hole for 6 months.
details.
She was underground for several months. At his hand.
But he let her out, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's all good now. He still wants Theo to have a relationship.
Yep, so we'll see everybody here on Monday at 10 p.m.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks,
SJ.
Bye. Bye, Sarah. Bye, SJ.
Bye.
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 Bye.